Check, 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 check.
Ooh, I like that.
Boom, here we are. You don't hear me? I hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's probably me. Hold on.
Oh, no. It's me. It was me. Can you hear me now?
There we go. Yeah, it was me.
No, I think it was me. The microphone wasn't clicked.
Oh, you're right, because I would have heard you out of the wrong speakers, but I would have heard you.
Listen, it was both of us.
Everyone fucked up.
I got so much I have to talk about. I have to apologize to our audience. I was just like, I've been listening to the books, and I've gotten so many things wrong. And all I can think of is like when I was, you know, used to drive around all the time and I was listening to the radio and people were like, what was that movie? I'm not going to ruin it because I'm going to go over it in the podcast. But yeah.
But you're always the guy that's yelling at the radio.
Yes.
It's not the Red Aja, you fucking idiot.
I'm like Kathy Bates. I'm like, he didn't get out of the cock-a-doody car. I haven't even started my recording yet. I'm going to wait till Justin joins up and then I'll do it. That way you don't have to scrub through 10 minutes of us, you and me talking. I'm cool with that. You want to start it then?
I think I actually do. Just to fuck.
Just to see. All right. Yeah. I just started my recording and we are good to go.
Thank the light, everyone. I am your original Sadai, and this is my wolf brother.
I'm the on-time wolf brother. Woohoo! I'm the no-tech problem. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen?
We got it. We got one single in the house, while the other one is taking some update.
You know, just said last week, he's like, hey, we can't be saying my name all over the place. And you gave first name last week and last name this week.
Fatty Sadai. Yeah.
And cousin Jeremy. No last names. I don't want anyone looking me up. You got to keep this in. You just got to all that out, okay?
I am, totally. Just beep, beep, redact.
Oh, I can't wait. This is great, man.
I am Desmond McNeese.
What sounds awesome? whatsoundsawesome.com.
There you go. That's where you find me.
check.
Is Justin...
No, he's just having trouble.
Oh.
We got to let him in. He's here. He's here and he's hot, so...
That's my wife. She's the one who has to put up with me all the time. And I was trying to explain Wheel of Time to her last night, and it was hilarious.
Fucking Wheel of Not On Time. Jesus fucking Christ. Thank the light. Fucking technology is my fifth best fucking friend.
So we've already watched two of the origins, so if you want to jump in.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. We did introduce ourselves just because we wanted to fuck with the listeners. So
I am your fashionably late goat kisser.
Yeah.
And I'm here to party. Where's the fucking bourbon? Socked it all up. Give me another.
Justin is going to be in rare. He was probably going to be in rare form anyways, but now that he's,
oh man,
he's already launched. Thanks to the,
told you I'm coming in hot.
All right. Well, feel free to chat a little bit. I'm gonna go to the bathroom real quick, and then we'll launch into our first origin.
Hey, I was telling Dez before we started this that I have to apologize to all of our listeners because I started listening as I was reading. So I'm reading when I'm at home, and then when I'm like on the road or anything like that, I throw in the Rosamund Pike version of the reading, and I'm just realizing I have gotten so many things wrong. When we were talking about it, oh my gosh.
Yeah, there were some things that we got wrong. I just noticed the other day when you saw my text back, right?
Yeah.
It was like, literally, it's like, I forget who's having the conversation. I feel like it's Nynaeve. And, you know, they're talking about being stilled. You can still sense the source.
Exactly.
But you can't touch it. So I'm wondering if there is, because you know that the Forsaken, they talk about severing. So is there like a shield and then like a kind of like a not so permanent version and then something that maybe can't be healed, or is it just like you're cut off or it's fixed? It's like, I bet it's like if you burn out, I bet it can't be healed. You know what I mean?
Right. And well, no, I think they can fix that. But then also we were talking about how when Rand, Tom, and Matt are fleeing Shadar Logoth, that they jumped their horses onto the boat.
They don't do that.
And I was like, oh, that was a great scene. They don't do that at all. They run up to the boat and they like let their horses go and then they jump onto the boat themselves.
You know what? 15-year-old minds, you know, you come up with some shit. Dude! That's why reading's great though, because you kind of have your own, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was the theater of the mind, right? There was, so remember the game Dragon Warrior?
Yeah.
Okay, remember how you and I played that for hours and hours and hours?
God, that's so funny. I was just thinking about that game the other day because I couldn't remember. It was Dragon, what was it? And that was the one where you just like walked around with your little like 2 8-bit guy through the forest and stuff. Dude, we used to log time on that game.
So much time, like so much. And we would talk about it when we were playing it.
No, we can't fight the green dragon yet. Back out, yes, back out, back run out, away. Back out.
Run away, run away. Cast heal. No, don't cast heal because you won't make it out. We don't have enough magic points.
You knew how much he was going to take away from you. And you're like, no.
So I would go up there and I'd stay for like a week during summer or something like that. And we would just play it all incessantly. But one of the things that I remembered was what we named our character. And we named him Rand.
We did. We named him Randall Thor. We named him Randall Thor. Because it was like, Randall Thor's been attacked by a green blob.
I don't know if we could fit Althor on there, but maybe it was Rand who's been attacked. Rand has done this. Rand.
I've definitely named someone else Randall Thor in a game, and in Red Dead Redemption,
yes,
my horse was named my tie-dye Char. I'm not kidding.
That is awesome.
So these are the origin stories of Jeremy and Fatty, but today we're going to listen to some different origin stories and talk about them. Wheel of Time origin stories. So, welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time.
I will.
So we're not gonna commentary them, but just so that they're fresh in our mind, we're gonna watch the origin stories and talk about them. So we'll make sure and tell you which one we're talking about. And for you two, I'm gonna turn this into 2 episodes either way. If they happen to be 2 shorter episodes, fine. If we talk forever, then we'll have 2 long episodes. But I think just for content's sake, I want to make sure I get 2 out of this.
What'd you say? You need to make this into 2? I got you.
I don't need to make it into 2. I don't need to. I am going to.
Oh, you're going to get a fucking steak. Bend over, Abigail May, because here comes the gravy pipe. Fatty's ready to go. Did you see how I'm tying my fucking my chef fucking face?
Oh, look at that.
Let's fucking go.
We are going to start with, I got to see, they're in different order now. The Fall of Manetherin.
I know, the breaking of the world is, we're starting with Manetherin? Okay. Dude, it's so much easier on the computer. They go in order. Like, they're all mixed in with, like, the extras and shit on the smart TV. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, no, you're right. It is breaking of the world. Sorry, Fatty. Yeah, I do want to do it.
I don't care, bro. I don't, whatever.
No, I wanted to do it in order of the, oh, God damn it.
Oh, God. Why would you do that?
I know. I just did this.
I know. I did the same thing. No, back out. Ah!
I backed out and it went all the way to... Why did it go all the way to the beginning?
God, I just went out to the search screen. God damn it, you guys.
That's so funny. We all just did the exact same thing.
I don't know why I just broke out my inner Cartman, but okay. So we're doing the breaking? Okay.
Yes.
The breaking is the one with the guy who's like on his back floating in the air. Is that the one?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
3, 2, 1, play.
What did they name him? Dragon!
That dragon banner is like perfect. I hope they use that one.
Yeah, it's so good. Yena! He didn't kill her with a sword, guys. Spoiler alert.
They needed guzzling. That's when Mad Max shows up.
For centuries, our sisters of the Aes Sedai have sought to understand the breaking of the world.
So I rewatched Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
This is not the Fury Road podcast, dude.
No, listen. Just wait. Just hold on. It could.
I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to bring it around.
Mad Max 2. Road Warrior,
yeah,
still holds up, dude. Still good, still outstanding.
What do you mean, still good? It wasn't good back then.
Oh, you're a liar.
No, you're a Mel Gibson lover.
I can never get past the dubbing.
No, it's so good.
And Grace Jones as the baddie.
No, that was Thunderdome. That's Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that one was bad too.
And you know what? Thunderdome is still good too.
The last time I watched Thunderdome, somebody had motion smoothing cranked up to 11.
Oh no.
And it was fucking...
It's unwatchable.
It was like the uncanny valley hidden inside real people. It was...
Nothing makes Dez crazier than people who fuck with the motion thing.
Dude, last time I was at Fatty's house, I was like, give me a remote!
Dude, he was here for about fucking 5 minutes. He's like, I can't. Do it.
It's not natural.
I don't even know what the fuck it was till he told me. I'm like, okay.
And it makes it look like you would never see things in real life. Like,
yeah,
move your hand really fast in front of you. You see motion blur.
Yeah, you see 24 frames a second.
That's because I've done a lot of psychedelics, dude. That's not, doesn't mean anything.
Well, that's motion smoothing. The
Wait, what?
The acid is what creates the motion smoothing and that nice little tracer.
It's all making sense.
Dez, so after watching this Origins...
We just watched The Breaking of the World.
The Breaking of the World, or when they talk about The Breaking of the World, does it smooth anything out for you? Or were you like already, I got this?
Nope.
No, it does a little. The only thing it smooths out is it makes me more comfortable everyone else's confusion in the universe.
Okay.
Like, I'm always just like, why doesn't anybody know anything? Why doesn't, like...
How come nobody knows nothing?
Yeah, how come Ogiers are like legends in most of the land, and like, and why is it so fucking,
most people don't believe they exist?
So fucking crazy that a farmer is, you know, has a cool sword.
Because farmers don't fucking have cool swords.
So the first questions I have, this did help me focus my questions. So that's not a bad thing.
Okay.
I don't see the Dark One as different from Luz Theron. Should I?
Yes.
Absolutely.
They are literally like...
opposing forces.
Polar opposites. Yes.
Opposing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the whole yin and the yang, dude. Like,
no, but Luz.
Yes.
The Dark One wanted.
Luz Theron is like the essence of the light, bro. He just makes a mistake.
Okay, but what's hilarious is, Dez, you are coming from the same point of view as the people who, in the very first book, they have the same understanding as you have.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
They have the same understanding as you have.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because what happens is, they get convoluted, like, oh, so here's what really happened, right? The Dark One is free. Luz Theron decides, I'm tired of waiting, all the politicking and whatever we got to do to, like, nobody can make a decision. I'm going to take these 100 male channelers.
He goes full Anakin, dude. Like, I'm going to end this now, basically.
No, but he doesn't go evil.
If Anakin was trying to kill the Emperor, if Anakin went after the Emperor.
Right, he was just like, I have to fucking finish this, you know?
I got
to
do it, and it's me and these 100 guys. So they go, and they try to seal up the Dark One, and they succeed. But his counterstroke, as he's being sealed away, is he taints the male half of the source. He puts an oil over the top.
One.
So the Dark One does.
They use the word poisoning in the Origins, and I think that's good, because they don't ever really say poisoning. They say tainted, they say fouled. I think that the poisoning...
Poisoning sounds good, yeah.
It brings it home a little bit more, because you just... I think it's harder. It's like, I don't get it. So what, it's dirty? Like, it's like, no, it's poisoned. Like, if you touch it, you're fucked.
Okay.
But the thing is, as Robert Jordan goes on to explain, once you start channeling, you can't not ever, you can't stop.
Right.
It is, it's life for you.
It's heroin.
It's heroin. Exactly. It's heroin.
It's like touching yourself.
If heroin was inside your body all the time and all you had to do was like think of heroin and you could be high, that's what it would be.
But I have to get the heroin out. So yes, this is awesome. This is already paying off in fucking spades, because I thought the breaking of the world is what tainted Sidene.
No.
I thought that him lashing out at the world and saying, fuck everybody, you can all go to hell.
But that's where the confusion comes from, like Jeremy said.
Yeah.
Chicken egg type shit, you know? Because so much bad shit happened at that time, and so much time has passed
it's 3,000 like, years, right?
Yeah, you're like, I don't know, they were all fucking assholes.
And the breaking lasted 100 years?
Yeah.
Oh, more.
Probably longer.
So, but the actual physical, so does that mean there's just like earthquakes happening constantly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. Well,
or, you know, it would chill out for a while because they're, you know, as they started to die off, and then you'd have one lose his shit again. And just depending on how strong they were, they would fuck shit up.
So the continued breaking was the male.
Yes.
Oh.
Because they all lost their shit at different fucking rates. You know, some of them went to the steadings
and tried to stay there, but then they would leave because they couldn't touch the source and it was driving them crazy. And then they stayed there for 10 years. Then they just added 10 years to the breaking. But also what is in the books that's not explained in the TV shows is men are stronger in fire and earth. Women are stronger in water and air. So men would go crazy and then they could you see what the strongest channeler of the age, when he goes nuts and he decides he's going to kill himself, what does he do?
He creates the biggest mountain ever.
Yeah. This gigantic beam that wipes him out and it creates a huge mountain. Right. So that's the biggest guy. So imagine like 500 little guys and what they can do and how much they can tear up the earth.
Just in their general vicinity. Because he basically raised Everest like in, you know.
By itself. Yeah.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Just boom.
Mountain.
Out of nothing. And it was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Not just a mountain, a fucking volcano, right?
Yeah, volcano. Yeah, that's always smoking.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a volcano. Andril. Andril's one of my favorite later characters, dude. Do you like Andril, Jeremy?
All right, I'm going to be honest. I have no idea who you're talking about.
The page boy. He's not like, he's very weak, but all he can do is make massive gateways.
Don't even remember him. I have to go back.
Oh, you're fired.
I know.
Yeah, you
seriously.
Better get on it, son.
Yeah.
He ends up becoming a warder, like, to, he gets bonded to a red sister that comes to the Black Tower. And he really can't do shit with the power, but he can make huge gateways. Like literally, like, bigger gateways than, like, Rand can, even though he's super strong. That's just his talent. And, like, he figures out a way to weaponize it, and man, is it fucking cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Hint, dragon mount, lava. It's great.
So, okay, there's another thing I need to talk to you about. We were, so in the last episode, which was not last episode, chronically, that you're going to be hearing this, but the last episode that we did, we were talking to the editor, and the editor was talking about mystery boxes.
Yes.
Okay, and how he couldn't stand the way that they did the mystery boxes. And then he talked about how Robert Jordan did the mystery boxes very well. And as I've been saying, I've been rereading and re-listening to the first book. And it blows me away how Robert Jordan sets up Rand channeling and then all of the issues that come along with that for the first time. The sicknesses, the giddiness, and all this stuff. It happens.
And you have no idea why he's acting that way when you're reading it.
Exactly.
And you go back and you're like, ah.
It's so outstanding because the first time he channels is when they're leaving the Two Rivers. He channels Bella into Bella, trying to force her to go to keep up with the other horses that were much bigger and stronger.
Yeah, to like cleanse her fatigue or whatever.
Yes, because Egwene is on that horse. And as soon as they get to Berlon, he starts acting weird and he starts kind of feeling sick. And then Moraine tells Nynaeve, hey, you can channel, and I know you can channel, and here's what happened. There was a time in your life when you wanted something so bad that you just, like, you yearned for it, and then it happened. And then when it happened, after that, like maybe a day or two or a week later, you got really giddy and started acting weird, and then you got really sick, but then you got well in like a very short amount of time. And she sets out all of these steps. And so that when Rand, every time he channels like two more times after that, he goes through
the reactions to channeling. Yeah.
He goes through all of these. But since you're seeing it from his point of view, you're left going, because Rand is like, oh, what's going wrong? What's going on with me? Oh, it was because I was in the rain. So I got really sick overnight. And then it was a miracle that I got better. That's crazy. Or he's up on the, he's on Bale Doman's ship. And he's standing on the highest part of the ship.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like on the mast or whatever. And he's just laughing hysterically.
Laughing and then jumps down, slides down, does like a flip, lands. And like everyone's like, what is this moron doing? And then he looks up and goes, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? You know, and you're just like, oh, that is writing. That is how a person actually writes those type of stories and can convey his message and hide it, you know, hide his mystery box. He hid it so well, but when you go back and look, he laid it out for you the whole time. And it was outstanding. J.J. Abrams, not so much.
All mystery, no box.
Take some lessons, friend.
But it was hilarious. Last night, I'm trying to tell this to my wife, and I was like,
oh, God.
I'm like, it's so awesome, babe. Babe, it's so great. And I'm looking back at this, and she's like, you didn't see.
She's patting you on the head going, oh,
she's like,
you're
that's
so cute.
Sweet. That's sweet.
That's sweet.
You're cute.
I'm going to go to bed.
You're such a nerd.
I'm going to take a bath.
I'm so excited for Kelly has said she's going to. We'll see what happens. She's going to do the rewatch with me. She'll be drugged up from her surgery, so I think I can suck her into it. It's just like, where are you going to go? I'm really excited to watch, like, it's going to take us a little while because I want to just watch one episode and talk about it.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. I don't want to binge them all. I want to watch one and then do it because I was so, like, taking notes. I didn't just watch them.
Every time I actually do sit through an episode for whatever reason, or I throw it on for something, I'm like, oh. Well, you know what's funny? Like the editor, like you can tell like how much he had to get in to do that edit. Like he had to like in episode 2, in episode 3, in episode 4, like he knew exactly where everything happened.
Dude, I know. I was kind of like,
Yeah, every time he said that, he's like, well, it's like in episode 5 when blah, blah, blah. I'm like, was that episode 5?
I suck at podcasting. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm like, damn.
Totally. I was thinking like, oh, I was just thinking about his episodes. I all the stuff that he cut out, like it was just out of my brain. Like I don't even remember all that stuff.
Yeah, it didn't even exist anymore.
I had to go back and watch stuff and be like, oh, yeah, that's right. That was in there, huh? Oh, yeah. Nynaeve shoves Gwen off the cliff. That was so stupid.
Yeah, watching the episodes now, like when it comes to one of his good cuts, you're just gonna be like, oh, fuck. I gotta be here for 7 minutes.
Yep. You're like, Warner funeral. Blah.
Oh, this is where Lan beats his chest. Oh, and screams. So bad.
Episode 6 is going to be great. I don't know if it's episode 6. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, it's a good guess.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question for both of you. What do you think? How hard must it have been to even gentle one of those dudes going nuts? Like, after a while, do you think they even bothered gentling him or they're just like, fucking kill him?
Kill him. Yeah. Whatever's easiest. Had to be whatever's easiest.
Got to put that rabid dog down.
Well, I mean, it's all the same in the end. Well, I guess you're right. Well, because killing is easier because you just give them all you've got. You don't have to like try to hit them with medium speed. But I mean,
yeah, you're not gonna sort of like Jedi's trying to capture, not kill. It's like sometimes it's easier just to take off the head.
Yeah, and it's just like football. You know, when you're going half speed, that's when you get hurt. You got to go full out. You got to take them out.
God, I'm so fucking excited for football season.
Oh, me too.
God, me too. Now that you mention it.
And then I played Tecmo Super Bowl on Genesis. I love Tecmo Super Bowl.
Oh, that was fun. We spent a lot of time on that game. Bo Jackson would just ruin people.
Well, yeah. Yes.
Yes. Do you think that the Aes Sedai maybe like...
They couldn't stop Bo Jackson either.
No, they could not. They could, just like Brian Bosworth, couldn't tackle him either.
Yeah, impossible. Nope. Impossible.
Oh, you had to invoke Brian Bosworth. Why don't you just... See, that's gentling me. You should have killed me. You should have killed me. Don't gentle me with...
Bro, I went to the fucking Kingdome just to watch it die. I'm a Raider fan, dude.
Foe life.
Like, yeah, blow it up!
Anyway, sorry. Ask your question, man. Ask your question. Do you think the Aes Sedai...
Who had a question? Oh, me. Yeah. I was just saying, do you think that they prolonged the breaking by like... Or not the breaking, but do you think things got so bad with like, you know, there's so many Dark Friends by the time things come around, you know, do you think that it got that bad? How do I phrase this? They're so concerned with the breaking happening again and like and go and finding men who might be able to channel and kind of culling the ability to channel out of their society that they missed other things. And that's why there's so many factions of Dark Friends and they didn't know about the Shan Chan and... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. This is definitely like straight philosophical because there's no answer. But like, do you feel like they created their own problem a little bit by kind of like focusing on like, well, we got to get these men. Like, for a while, they had to, right? To save the world. But then it's like, then, you know, it's, I don't know. It's like, it seems like they...
It's like we need to keep an eye on these nuclear bombs because, you know, they could destroy the world. But also, while you're doing that, these other guys are building up, you know, missiles and helicopters and all that stuff.
Also, like, we have to worry about the trash and, like, homeless people and, you know, like, all this other shit, too. You know, but there's that.
But also... the nuclear bombs.
But also the bombs.
Yeah.
Mostly the bombs.
We got to really worry about these nuclear bombs.
Yeah, I think they focused on the right problem, but you're right. Like, other shit built up because of it, no doubt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you think, like, the Dark One was able to gain power? It's like, you could argue that the Dark One sort of won against Luz Theron because the world almost ended. Like, I'd say it was a draw.
Yeah, and that, well, it's, I got stabbed through the heart, but as I'm stabbing you, you know, through the heart, I'm going to, you know, take out your artery, that type of thing. You know, you're going to bleed to death, but I'm going to die now, but you're going to bleed to death.
Good news is you're going to live. You'll only be able to eat soup for the rest of your life. I'm going to pee in it before I die. All of your soup. All of it.
One turd in the ice cream. One turd in the ice cream. Is the Dark One a thing we can see? Is it an it? Or is it it's just a force? It's just a power?
Entity, probably, I guess. I don't know. What would you say?
Yeah, I would say you don't really understand the Dark One and, like, all that stuff until the very last book when Rand does his confrontation.
Like the very end of the very last book.
Yeah, but it's more like it's an entity that can think and feel and understand things, obviously, but it's not like a guy who shows up and looks like somebody,
right?
A person.
Yeah, there's like an omnipotence to it, but like not complete. It's like kind of confined, if that makes sense. It's like if you're close enough to where he's kind of still trapped or it's whatever, it can really affect you and they can like get in your head and shit like that. But the further away you get, the less power it has.
Is there a light one?
Yeah, there's a creator.
Oh!
Yeah, the creator.
His name's Randall Thor.
Yeah, he's not the creator.
He's not the creator. He's pretty close.
So this is God and Devil.
It's God and Devil. Yeah, it's God and Devil. Yeah.
Basically, and like Ishmael's the Dark One's champion and Rand's kind of like the champion.
Okay.
Like,
basically. That makes sense.
Or the dragon, Luz Theron.
It always comes back to the fucking Bible.
What? Jedi versus Sith? There's no Bible. What are you talking about?
Are we going to see Rand like this at some point? You know they're going to do it.
Just on a wheel, not a cross.
Yeah.
You know that. You know the show is going to fucking do it.
That fucking wheel that was on the thing. Rand's going to be strapped to that in some sort of dream sequence. Like, I can't escape the wheel.
I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong.
I hope he rolls down that thing while Gawain throws knives at it.
Okay. Wow, Gawain. Fuck Gawain.
How dare you?
What? Don't tell me you like Gawain.
I do not. No, I do not. I was saying, how dare Dez say that Gawain's going to throw knives at Rand?
He even talks like a dick. Even the fucking audiobook people are like, Gwen. Like, I can't even do it. He's so douchey.
While we're talking about audiobooks, though, Rosamund Pike. Outstanding.
Good, right?
Yes.
It's pretty good. I thought it was good.
Here's my question to you guys. If you both listened to Rosamund Pike?
No.
Dez, you too?
Yeah, not all of it. Not all of it, but a good portion of it.
Okay, then. Fatty then. So do you think she's doing impressions of the actors? Because her Perrin sounds like the dude. Because she sounds like...
Dude, yeah. And you know what? Her impression of Rand's not terrible either.
And
Tam.
Also, and Matt.
Yeah.
The only one that's different is Tom, because Tom, she gives Tom an Irish accent.
Yeah.
And the guy who plays...
Or Scottish.
And no, it's Irish. It's Irish.
I wonder if that's... Is the actor Irish?
I don't know that. You know what?
I wonder if when he's off screen...
Yeah, maybe when he's off screen, he's like, top of the morning to you, Rosamund.
Okay.
That's a good question. That's a good question, man. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that it's more just her like, okay, I've read the script. I've read it through once, like read the book through once. And now I'm just like doing what I think these people sound like. But what you're saying would make a hell of a lot more sense. Because I'm like, where did she come up with all these voices? Because like all of them are at least subtly different and it's really good.
So when she does the Tuathon, the Isla and Rain, she gives them both Irish accents, and Isla is definitely Irish in real life.
Yeah.
And I think Rain uses an Irish accent in the TV show. So I'm just wondering, you know, I don't know if it, at the time when she did it, if she had already, if they'd done any type of, you know, filming or anything like that, or if she just came up with them and it just happened to be coincidence. Just for clarification, because I've talked about how terrible I was at things. The actor who plays Tom Marilyn, his name is Alexander Willem, W-I-L-L-A-U-M-E. He's from Denmark. He's not Irish.
Okay.
So, Alex, and it might be Alexandre, because it's A-L-E-X-A-N-D-R-E. So it might be Alexandre Willum or something. It's.
I can't remember. Do any of the other two narrators do Tom in Irish?
No. They don't do accents that at all. They just read it.
Well, they don't. They give them.
A little bit of inflection, but not a lot.
But it's not like her. She's reading like almost like a play.
It's funny. The guy who reads it, his voices change. For like the boys and stuff.
Yeah.
They get like Matt's voice is very kid like, and so is Perrin's somewhat. Perrin's voice changes a lot, gets very husky, his inflection for his voice. And Matt's definitely changes too. Matt just sounds like a fucking punk little kid at first.
Because that's what he is.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's perfect.
In the first book, that's what he is.
Yeah, he's a shit.
All right. We are going to watch The Wheel of Time, Season 1, Origin Stories, The Fall of Manetherin. 3, 2, 1, go.
Dude, first of all, opening scene is a raven flying over the mountains. That's tits. Because Matt is all about the ravens.
1,000 years after the breaking, battle still raged against the forces of the Dark One.
1,000 years after the breaking, that's his Trolloc Wars, right, Jeremy?
Yep, Trolloc Wars.
He's even got like raven looking feathers shits on his shoulders.
All right, Dez, questions. Do you understand this part of the timeline?
I think so. It's just war. Well, it's so okay. Here's my question. So the breaking lasted 100 years. There was barely anything left. Then 900 years after that, there's
this.
So they have repopulated.
Is this Archer Hawkswing's time?
No, that's another 1,000 years.
Another 1,000 years after. So they've started to rebuild, basically.
So I think that, so please, I'm so sorry if I'm getting this wrong, but there's basically 3 millennia. There's the breaking, then the next millennia, the...
Like the breaking to the Trolloc Wars.
Breaking to the Trolloc Wars, right? So then the Trolloc Wars is like 1,000. And then at 2,000... is the War of 100 Years, which is Archer Hawkwings. After he dies, it's basically like Alexander the Great and how they divided his kingdom and everybody fought over it and all that stuff, that type of thing, times 1,000.
And then we're at basically almost the 1,000-year mark when this starts happening, correct? After Archer Hawkwing.
It's been 3,000 years since to the breaking, since that. And that's when Rand shows up.
Where, if you can answer this without ruining everything for me. Where do the Trollocs come from? Are the Trollocs always been there, or were they created somewhere between the breaking and the Trolloc Wars? Did someone create them to start the war?
Justin.
Okay, so Aganor created the Trollocs and Madral, and I believe the Drakkar as well. They started, he was, I can't remember what he did. He was like a researcher and he was like a geneticist, I believe. Of using the power, you know, and he started doing experiments. And that was one of the reasons why he went to, you know, the Dark One, because he wanted to do experiments that society as it was were like not cool with, you know. And so Aganor ended up, you know, basically going to the Dark One so he could do these experiments. And then he came up with Trollocs and then the Madral and all that shit. And so that happened before the breaking, before, you know, when they first kind of freed the Dark One.
Oh.
That's kind of where Trollocs came from. He created them.
Real? Before the breaking?
Yeah. So, you know, before the breaking happened, it was called the War of the 100 Years, I believe.
No, that's after the break, unless there was another war.
Okay.
War of 100 Years is 2,000 years after the break.
Excuse me. Sorry. The War of Power is what happened. Lanfear and a group of scientists tapped in to the dark, to the boar, and trying to find what ends up being called the true power. Men and women can both use the same power. It's like basically the essence of the Dark One. But they were looking for this other source of power. They tapped into it kind of by accident, and then it created this kind of greed and you know, this war of power of all these Aes Sedais who were jealous of one another, wanted to be more powerful. You know, just typical motivations for that kind of stuff.
Okay. And then that's what slowly led to the breaking, was the power grab.
No.
Well, what happened is they were fought, and eventually, you know, you have these Forsaken, all these Dreadlords, and you're going at it, and it's like destroying the world around them, and Luthien's just like, I'm going to take 99 of my best boys, and we're going to ride on these motherfuckers, and we're going to shut it down. And they go, and they basically do it, but in doing so, it taints Sidene. And then the breaking starts. At first, everybody's like, yo, everything's great. But within like, what, a couple of months, right?
Yeah, everything starts going bad.
Everybody starts going, like some of them started going real fast. And I think the more powerful you are, kind of the faster you went at that point. Because they just kept channeling like it was no thing. And the more you channel, the more the madness seeps into you.
So did the breaking start with Luthien, or was that kind of the end result of the breaking?
I kind of think that was closer to the end. You think it started?
It started with him
sealing the Dark One. Right. I mean, ultimately, that was the kickoff. But it didn't manifest for what?
Months, probably. Weeks or months. Then people start to realize, like, people are going, all the guys are going crazy.
Because I always picture Luthien, boom, breaking the world, raising Dragon Mount, and then the world just crumbles around him.
No, it was already going bad before that.
Okay.
And then after that, it's still going bad,
right,
for a long time, for like 100 years.
While they hunt all the men down.
Yeah, or they die off. One of the two, you know. Good questions, though. Good questions. Murdral are throwbacks of... So Trollocs are a constructed thing, and Murdral are like a throwback to... Because it's a combination
they're
of...
They're like burrows when the donkeys, they can't... They're sterile and they're different, kind
of. That's true. But they're... So... They're a combination of like human beings and animals, but then the Trollocs are more animal. And then when they have like a offspring, when they have like an offspring that's more of the human side, that's the Murdral.
Oh, so Murdrals are just the luck of the draw.
Yes.
From Trolloc sex.
Yeah. They're like the white stag, you know, oh shit. You know, it's just like a.
Yeah. Genetic anomaly.
So who's fucking the Drakkar?
They never talk about that.
Anybody the Drakkar wants to, because they just sing to them and take their soul while they do them.
So are Drakkar more of a...
They're kind of like a vampire, for lack of a better term.
They're just there. They're not procreating themselves at some point.
No, I think those were created as well.
Yeah, they don't really go into it. But you know, the one thing they do talk about is, do you know what they call a Drakkar mystery? A Drakkar noir.
God.
I almost said that just because I couldn't think
also,
of anything
eighth
else.
Grade dances.
And it would have been right. Oh my God.
You would have totally crushed his joke too. He'd have been like, what?
I'm like, that's my dad joke for the day.
Did you catch anything, Dez, about that she's an Aes Sedai, Aemon is her warder. She feels him die immediately because of the bond.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Yeah, they don't really say anything about that, but they say she's an Aes Sedai, but like I think it's implied that he's her warder, and so they have the bond, and when he dies, she knows it, and that's when she
okay.
Just basically goes nuclear.
Yeah, or he may not even be her warder, she just might have bonded him.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's her husband, so it's like they have the warder bond, they're foreshadowing it.
We're going to listen to I bookmarked Lan and Moraine talking about the bond, and very soon I'm going to make you guys listen to that. We're going to talk about the bond.
Well, we could do a whole episode on the bond if you want to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what I mean. Yeah, we'll.
And I have some clips when we get a little further, like maybe after the season for like the Shadow Rising. There's some really good stuff in the stone before and after the battle, and then some stuff with Perrin and Lan and Moraine as well, and Fael.
So I feel like I should have more questions about this, but I think it's just bad times.
It's pretty straightforward.
It's war.
It's super bad times, yeah.
Well, I think they're just meant to show you like these first 1,000 years, even though like the breaking was over, it still really fucking sucked. Like you said, bad times, you know. Oh, also, the popular theory is Matt is Aemon reborn.
Oh.
I feel like it's been confirmed, but I don't want to say that because I'm not sure. But the whole Karai, how he's chanting Karai Al-Kalizar, that's what Matt always says in the whole time when he's about to go fight.
Then we're going to watch The Wheel of Time, season 1, origin story, The Greatest Warder.
We're going to watch your colon story?
No, let's not do that.
Oh, and I just want this to take this chance to tell everyone at home, these are canon. They're officially, like, real. This isn't just...
They're ripped straight out of the books, for sure.
Yeah, this isn't someone just making their best guesses. Like, these are...
I drew these cartoons, and it's a cool story.
These are more legit than the TV show, guys.
You're dead to me. He's right. God damn it, he's right.
Jeremy's waiting for the anime.
I hate you so much.
All right, Stephen Hartley, narrator. 3, 2, 1...
I feel like they're going to work this into Matt's introduction in season 2.
I hope you're right.
Like, I feel like this is foreshadowing and, like, hopefully, like, showing you, like, yeah, the Matt's going to be like, see? He whoops their ass with the quarterstaff and they're two of the greatest swordsmen. Or they end up being two of the greatest swordsmen. Hey, yo, is that supposed to be land? Do we think that's land? That loses in the first part?
Could be. You kind of look like them.
Kind of sounded like him.
It's definitely who he's talking to. I didn't realize that was the same guy who got beat down at the beginning. So we just watched. Sorry, just because I don't know how much we're going to actually be able to talk about this. What was the name of the episode? The Greatest Warder. The
Greatest Warder. There's not a lot to say really about it. Again, I think more foreshadowing and storytelling. I think it foreshadows. First of all, Jeremy, it foreshadows Andrel because he's someone who gets underestimated to fuck. And he does some seriously important things because everybody just... He gets to do some stuff because he's so underestimated. I would say Suan Sanche or whoever it does when they get healed. Remember, they're not as strong like when they get healed. So people kind of just dismiss them.
Yeah.
Same with Matt. People kind of dismiss him because he's just kind of this scoundrel. Like they always expect him to like let him down. And he doesn't. He always comes through.
No, he never does.
And then like people kind of underestimate Min because she's not like a fighter. She's kind of like whatever and she doesn't channel. But dude, like fucking Fael kind of too. Fucking big mistake to underestimate those two women because you'll end up with a knife in your throat.
Definitely. But it also, so this is kind of taken from the books. There's the scene when Matt fights Gawain and Galad. And at the time, so they're like apprentice warders, but they're the two best swordsmen of all the apprentice warders.
Like by far.
By far. Like they kick everybody's butt. They're the best. And so Matt's like, on a whim, almost is like, I could be both of you guys at the same time. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, I'll put money on it. They're like, that's
when
not
he's
even
exhausted
fair.
Too. Like he's just coming out of his.
Exactly.
He just got healed.
Yeah.
That's when Gawain's at his douchiest.
Yeah.
I won't take your money, Matrim.
Yeah.
You're friends with Egwene. I would never take your money. Galad's like, it's not fair. You're straight out of the sick bed. He's like, yeah. I'll kick both your asses. Shut up.
So then he goes and he beats them both, obviously. And then the guy who's teaching all the warders goes, basically does the exact same thing that just happened. Like, who was the greatest swordsman? Everybody knows.
Oh, yeah. But they chant Matt in the book, don't they?
No.
Jerem Gaidin.
And then they're like, and he was defeated one time by who? By who? A farmer with a quarterstaff.
Okay.
And Matt kind of collapses. And no one gives a shit that he collapses. Everybody runs to Gawain and mostly Galad. But everybody runs and Matt's like, I'm actually kind of about to die. Can I get some food?
All the ladies do.
Yeah, well, all the ladies.
All the girls that are watching, yeah.
Well, and there are Aes Sedai's that do too.
So do you have to be anything special? Do you get invited to Warder College or can you just show up and just be like, I got skills?
You could just show up.
Yeah.
But they'll...
Okay.
Warder College is like Navy SEALs, right? Like if you got the goods, you can go. But then if you're rich... You're like, okay, you can go train with the Navy SEALs too. Like, you're not going to be a Navy SEAL, but you can go train with them.
Yeah, you get like an honorary degree.
Exactly. And then, but if you're good enough, you know, hey, if you want to do it, go ahead and do it.
And then is it just up to an Aes Sedai choosing you or are they, does someone say, this is a warder, one of you has to take him?
It's kind of a choosing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they have to choose. They have the.
That's why there are some full sisters that kind of run over to Galad at that point, because they're fucking already angling. They're like, he's going to be a warder soon enough, and I want him.
I'm going to bond him.
Exactly.
It has to be a mutual thing, too. Like, you.
Yeah.
The guy has to want to do it, too. There is certain things.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
That actually becomes a thing.
There's a certain things that happen where, yeah, exactly. It's uncouth, as they would say, to bond someone against their will.
It's kind of like if Jeremy died and he was like, well, you know, now Amy's your wife.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like, it's like that faux pas. It's like, what? It's just like, well, I already did it with the power, so you're fucked. I passed your bond, dude.
What you're saying is Lan gets cucked.
Kind of.
Sort of.
Sort of.
Ish. Yeah, I mean, Nynaeve doesn't nail anybody else, but yeah.
Well, no, fucking Moraine cucks him. Moraine's the one who's like, no, I'm passing you on to this woman, and then she'll pass you on.
But that's not even like, that's one way that you can get screwed over by it. Like,
yeah, there's an.
But there's another, like, you can be like forcibly bonded against your will.
Yeah, that's true. And that does start to happen too. And like, and there's varying degrees of shittiness for that one. Some of them are kind of like, I don't want to say accidental, but some of them are kind of accidental. Like, oh shit, you know? And then other ones like Pavara and Andril, they kind of like, she kind of bonds them and he's like, what the fuck? And he bonds her right back. And she's like, yeah. What the fuck?
Bond me, I'll bond you.
Because normally it's like one way, only one of the people can channel it, because the female can channel. And so when they both can channel, it's like this like reverberating like loop of like each other's thoughts.
Yeah. And then also there's a certain person who bonds another certain person, and then they come to regret it very much, because that person that they bonded goes through so much, and then they have to deal with everything that's going on with that person. They don't really talk about it on TV show, but in the books, when you a warder gets certain like gifts from being bonded, they don't need to sleep as much. They have more endurance. There's something else.
They heal faster.
They heal faster.
They get to take naked baths.
Yeah, naked baths together, obviously.
Naked baths.
And then they, you know, you can tell where each other are.
The greens get to have orgies, like fucking straight up.
Obviously.
Let's be real with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a cuddle party. Well, sort of is. All right. Anything else on warders for the time being?
Nope. No.
All right. Next.
I've been like, fuck warders.
I think we're going to get a lot. I'm excited. Like it's so funny. I could just hear that stank in Jeremy's voice every time. He's like, well, in the TV show, they didn't. Well, as the TV show goes, they're going to introduce more things. They are going to leave some stuff out. But I think as they're allowed, or not allowed to, but just the way shows naturally open up and give you more and bring in. And I think even season two is going to be a little disappointing on really piling on the lore. But by season three, once everyone's locked in, I think we're going to get some shit. I think we're going to learn some stuff in the TV show.
I hope you're right.
I'm trying to not overhype myself, but I'm kind of like hoping that the second season is just fucking completely epic. If I could flick your eyebrow right now, I would.
I think it's going to be cool. I just don't think it's going to be lore heavy.
That's okay. Just hit, honestly, like you can hit the bullet points of the major shit and fill it out as you go. I don't really care.
On the next episode of Thank the Light.
If you don't know what Aja you want, is there a sorting hat?
And my son's like, hey, I bought you some beer. And I was like, okay, why? He goes, I needed it to keep the groceries cool when we went out to lunch.
That's awesome.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Thank the Light, everybody. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman on the Bird app. You can send any questions directly to me via email at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com.
You know, you can cut this from the show if you want, but did you finish Station 11?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was just editing, because we talked about it a month ago, but I just edited that episode today. So I was thinking about it.
What do you think about that show? It belly flops, right? At the very end?
No. It's unexpected, and it took me a minute because I was kind of hoping it was leading towards a big something.
Nothing happens.
But after just letting it settle in and talking about it with Kelly, it was a kind of a nice change of pace. I was okay with it. My initial reaction was, give me something. Like, we've been building towards something, but they don't. It's you as a watcher of TV in 2022 that assumes it has to be building towards something. They don't give you a mystery box that they don't open. You just assume based on all this other shit that you've seen that there's going to be a big bang at the end.
See what this is, Jen? Des, this is you stretching. You're stretching. I don't know.
Super satisfying, but I didn't dislike the whole show because of it. I'm like, you know what? This has been an amazing journey. These episodes have been really well done. But anyway.
He's such a new dad, Jeremy. He's like, oh, you guys are doing great. By the time he's 13, it's like, fuck, can you quit playing baseball yet and figure out how to play Dungeons & Dragons or something? Like, you know,
Justin, this show, what Dez absolutely said, I back 100%, except for it is an exercise in futility. Nothing happens. Once you get to the end, you realize literally nothing has happened.
Well, I'm glad you guys reviewed that for movie because I hate all of that.
It wasn't a movie. It's a TV show. If it was a movie, it might have been okay.
I hope it was one fucking episode.
No.
If that was more than one episode, then I'm done.
A lot of episodes.
Oh, boy. Where's the hot bath and some razors? Oh, God.
Well, it was what I liked about it, too, since it was a small series, like, they were able to make each episode better, I think, because they would just actors.
I was like, I feel like I need to stop you. I feel like, you know what? If we had a chance at this podcast succeeding, it's like flaming out right now.
Dude, just the scene. I'll send you a scene when we're done recording. Just the scene where they wrap A Tribe Called Quest made that whole series.
I don't even remember that scene. I'll have to go back and find that. Because I love A Tribe Called Quest.
If I don't, actually, this podcast will probably end with it. So when you listen to this show,
oh yes,
it'll be at the end.
It's got to be at the end.
It's so good.
So I enhanced it and I looped it. It's real. It's a way to stay hot.
I'll
Come on, everybody, let's get with the fly mode. Still got room on the truck full of black gold. Listen to the rhyme and get a mental picture of this black man and black woman venture. Why do I say that? Because I got to speak the truth, man. Doing what we feel for the music is the proof. And planet on the ground, the actors sold together. Bonafide strong, you need leverage to sever. The unit, yes, the unit, yes, the unit called the jazz. Is delivering each year an LP filled with street goods. You can find it on your rack in your record store. If you get the record, say your thoughts are adored. And appreciate it, cause we're ever so glad we made it. We work hard, so we gotta thank God. Dishing out the plastic, do the dance to your spastic. If you diss, it gets drastic. Listen to the rhyme, cause it's time to make gravy. If it moves your booty, then shake, shake it, baby. All the way to Africa, aka the motherland. Stick out the left and an axe for the other hand. That's the right hand, brown man. Only if you are noted as my man. If I get the credit, then I think I deserve it. If you fake moves, don't fix your mouth to word it. Get in a zone of positivity, not negativity. Cause we gotta strive for longevity. If you botch up, what's in the ass? What? A pair of Nike size 10 and a half. We gotta make moves. Never, ever, ever can we fake moves. Yeah, we gotta make moves. Never, ever, ever can we fake moves. We gotta make moves. Never, ever, ever can we fake moves. We gotta make moves. Never, ever, ever can we fake the move.
Cut that out. Cut that out.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Cannot play that.
Jeremy, we love the show, and just we'll pray for Justin.